Virginia Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Fishing the waters of the wild and wonderful, the bluegrass and beyond. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker. Brought to you by Borders Sporting Goods. Let Borders help you get outdoors. Now, here's your host, Cam Connors.
Good morning. I hope you're going to have a wonderful Saturday, and thanks for catching another episode with Hook, Line, and Sinker. I am your host, Cam Connors, and today I want to kick the show off with a bit of a brief update. And I know this isn't strictly about fishing, but it is, we'll say, fishing adjacent. Now, because it does affect anglers as well as, you know, other outdoorsmen and outdoors women, hikers, campers, hunters. We touched on it last week with the backcountry hunters and anglers. Millions of acres of public land are being proposed for sell-off to the private sector. And that means, of course, no more protections for those lands, those resources, the wildlife, the ecosystems, and access for hunters, anglers, and outdoorsmen. Before I go any further, I want to say clear for the record right up front, I identify as a conservative. I am a middle-of-the-road conservative. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, libertarian is probably the best way to describe my leanings. But I just want to put that out there before I dive into it, because a lot of people may get the wrong impression. Oh, you know, he's a hardcore liberal. No, I'm not a hardcore liberal. I'm middle of the road, and I believe in protecting our public lands and natural resources. So just wanted to get that out there before I dive into what's probably going to be a little bit of a rant. If you missed last week's show, go ahead and check it out. Towards the end of the program, I talked with Dan Douglas, who is the chair of the Kentucky chapter of the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and he talks a good bit about the details of this proposed sale. And now, it was first proposed, to the best of my understanding, I'm not an expert in this, but to my understanding, it was first proposed in the House. And at the time, I believe it was about 150 to 200,000 acres was being proposed for a sale, and it failed. It failed in the House. Now it has come back in the Senate. It was tacked onto the budget reconciliation bill, which is being talked about right now. Senator Mike Lee from, I think, Utah is the one who's really pushing for this sale very hard. And it started on the budget reconciliation bill. It's roughly 3 million acres. It went from 150 or 200,000 to 3 million acres. And then it was shot down after the nonpartisan Senate parliamentarian voided the original provision. Now, here's something I actually found a little interesting about it. They voided it via the Byrd Rule. Yes, named after our own late Senator Robert C. Byrd. And the rule prevents the inclusion of provisions that are considered, quote, extraneous to the budget, effectively limiting the use of reconciliation to address non-budgetary issues. Essentially, this is the parliamentarian saying that, well, this land grab is unnecessary. It's an unnecessary addition, and it'll have little effect when it comes to actually addressing the real budget issues. So, of course, Senator Lee is now revising, quote-unquote, after, again, quote-unquote, listening to the hunters and anglers and outdoorsmen of the nation. There's just been an absolute flood of support, support for our lands and against this sale is how I should say it. But he's still trying to sell off about 1.2 million acres, I believe is what they're saying in this latest revision. And this land grab, I got to say also, it's very important to point out, it skirts federal law. There is a federal law, the Federal Land Transfer Facilitation Act. And basically that says that any public lands have to be, if they're sold, something like 90% of the proceeds have to go back into conservation. So, according to Senator Lee, the money from this sale, the overwhelming majority of it, would go to the Treasury, not back into conservation. So, that right there is a violation of federal law. Now, you may be asking, where is this public land that we're talking about selling? Well, I will say most of it is out west. It is in places like California and Oregon and Washington, Idaho, Nevada. So you may be asking, you know, Cam, why should we really care about that land? Well, I'll tell you, there are three main reasons in my mind. Number one, if it were our public lands on the chopping block, wouldn't you want the people in those states to give a damn and help us? I know I certainly would. And number two, regardless of where the public lands are, we need to protect them because, number three, whenever you open that door, it becomes a slippery slope. Once you start down this path, it sets a precedent for the future. And when that happens, it's only a matter of time. You'll hop, skip, and a jump before it's our lands and our public waters that are on the chopping block. And I said this last week, if you fish anywhere that's not privately owned land, if you fish in Beach Fork, Stonewall, Eastland, Summersville, the list goes on. If you fish any of those lands, those are public lands. Now, whether it's at the state level or the federal level, one way or another, those are public lands. Oh, and I just saw something here in my notes reminded me. The original version of this provision that Senator Lee is trying to sneak in, the original version said, yeah, don't worry. We won't sell it to any foreign entities. Well, guess what? The language in this latest draft, the reduction from 3 million to 1.2, if I'm not mistaken, the language was conveniently left out of this latest version, which is awful interesting, if you ask me. But yes, going back to my point there, you definitely should care because public lands are for us all to enjoy and future generations to enjoy. You know, I fish regularly at Greenbow and Grayson. And again, those are both state parks. Grayson, managed by the Corps of Engineers, also a state park. They're both publicly owned. And at the moment, the lands that are being proposed are managed with the Bureau of Land Management. It's at a federal level, and they oversee the large portion of lands, particularly that's on the chopping block. But again, if we allow something like this to happen, it's really only a matter of time before they're going to jump to the Corps of Engineers. They're going to jump to the state-held lands. Once you open that door, there's no closing it. So if you're like me, the question that really pops up is, okay, they want to sell this land, but why? To who? What's going on here? And to me, the kicker on this, keep in mind, this is rural wilderness lands. According to what I've found, Senator Lee's revisions specify that any of the land that is sold must be used, quote, solely for the development of housing or to address any infrastructure and amenities to support local needs associated with housing. So essentially, they're trying to say that they're taking this land to sell it to private organizations to help with housing issues. I don't know how that is going to actually help with housing. Now, if the federal government were going to take it and keep it in federal hands and create subsidized housing from the lands, okay, then you might have a somewhat of a foot to stand on there. But selling it off to the private sector, in my mind, does not help any kind of a housing issue. I don't know, it's puzzling to me. And I'll admit, I'm, again, not the most educated on this topic or the topic of housing needs. Just a quick Google search told me that California does have one of the highest homeless rates, as does Oregon and Washington, which are both states that are in this list, the public lands that are up for possible sale. But if housing is the true issue here, then why are there lands in Nevada on this list? Why is Utah, Idaho, Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, why are these lands getting sold? Are they planning on relocating folks from San Francisco into the Nevada desert or the Pacific Northwest forest? To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So the question becomes, what can we do? Well, call your senators, you know, let them know that we don't stand for this kind of thing. You know, these lands are protected for a reason. They're to protect the resources, the wildlife, and they're for us and our future generations to enjoy, to marvel at, to make memories at. Personally, I'll admit, I called both. I called Senator Justice and Capito's offices this week to find out their stances on the matter. I was directed to email the press team with Senator Justice. I could not get an answer on the phone at either of Senator Capito's offices in Charleston or D.C., so I did leave a message with my request. As of last night, I have not gotten a response from either one of them yet. So for my West Virginian friends, I highly recommend you reach out. Let them know how you feel. I myself, being a Kentucky resident, I sent strongly worded emails to both Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, and even my Kentucky representative as well, Thomas Massey. I sent them emails, and hopefully they'll they'll have some sort of an impact. I saw a post actually online just this week from Trout Unlimited, which put the amount of land that we're talking about here into perspective. At minimum, we're talking about a mandatory sell-off of public lands that's roughly equal to the size of the state of Rhode Island. And at maximum, we're talking about a piece of public land, or, well, pieces of public land that equals the size of the Grand Canyon State Park. Now, not just the canyon. I'm talking about the entire park, the 1.2 million acres. It's like over 1,000 square miles. So here's the real kicker to me. The main guy behind this, Senator Lee, he keeps telling hunters and anglers that he's listening to us. You know, he hears our outcry, but then he keeps proposing the sale. You know, to me, it's a strong likelihood that this is going to get voted on this coming week, probably before the 4th, if I had to guess. So, if not today or tomorrow. So, if you consider yourself a friend of the outdoors, well, I implore you, reach out to your representatives. Let them know that we won't stand for this. Moving on with today's show, now that my rant's over, we need to get on with the guests for today. I will be talking a little later, actually here in the next segment, with Easton Copley of the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. They've got a pretty cool promotion running through the summer months. It's geared towards getting new folks out and fishing. Plus, coming up a little later on, I'll have a story from my camping trip this past weekend for our Tackle Talk segment, and we will round out the show with Carl Jochumson, excuse me. He has started a brand called Fear My Heart, and they've set a pretty big worldwide, actually, goal for tomorrow. We'll get into that a little later on. Before we jump, though, into all that, you know the drill. We got to look at the weekend's weather and water conditions around the region. Here in St. Albans, the Coal River, hot, hot, hot. Wednesday, it broke that 80-degree mark for the first time this year. Hit 83 degrees Thursday and Friday. The rains this morning and possibly throughout the day and tonight could cool it off a little, but still over 80 degrees. Moving east to where the Elk meets the Kanawha, steady climb all week, again breaking that 83-degree mark as well. Taking a look over into Kentucky, my stomping grounds at the Little Sandy River stayed pretty cool, actually, this week. 68, 69 degrees until Tuesday. It looks like around mid-morning on Tuesday, they slowed the flow rate at the dam on Grayson, and the temperature just shot right up, 74 degrees. If they open that gate again, I see it dropping, but until then, it looks like it's going to stay in the mid or even upper 70s. Moving over, as for the Ohio River, still making its steady climb upward as we hit the summer, the stride of summer. It's likely going to break that 80-degree mark here this weekend. As for the weather this weekend, today, some sunshine headed our way for the afternoon. Stray shower possible here and there. A high today of about 90. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms possible, turning cloudy overnight with a low of 70. And tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, turning to all-out clouds for the afternoon. And again, a stray shower or thunderstorm could pop up throughout the day with a high of 71. As we get ready for our first break this morning, be sure to follow the show on Facebook. We have our own page now, at HLS Show. Connect with us on there and be sure to share your catch pictures and stories and ask questions, recommend guests. You can do it all right there on the Facebook page. You can also find us on podcast. Catch all the previous episodes on podcast at WJYPAM.com. We're also on YouTube. Just, again, search at HLS Show, and we're also on platforms like Pandora, Spotify, and Amazon Music. When we come back, Easton Copley of the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Resources will clue us in on how you could land a brand-new fishing kayak. It's hook, line, and sinker on the Jock. Border Sporting Goods, family-owned and operated for over 40 years, has the Tri-State's largest fishing selection, as well as a great archery department, with bows, arrows, and more. From the kids that shoot for their school teams to what mom and dad will need for their next hunting adventure, Borders carries major brands like Hoyt, Matthews, Ten Point, and Raven. Come shoot your next bow at Border Sporting Goods, 5876 U.S. Route 60, Ashland, Kentucky, and online at BorderSportingGoods.com.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone in your community or just taking a deep, calming breath when you need it. Nice. For mental health resources, check out loveyourmindtoday.org. At loveyourmindtoday.org, you'll find information that may help you get through a tough time. Things like tips for dealing with stress, how to navigate difficulties like financial worries, anger, substance use, and more. You can also find real stories of how people navigated their own mental health challenges. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Reels are streaming, lines are tight. We're back for Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock.
HLS Today brought to you by Borders Sporting Goods. Find them on US 60 in Ashland. They're your one-stop shop for all of your fishing needs this summer, plus your home for Liberty Safes. Let Borders help you get outdoors and find them online at BordersSportingGoods.com. I'm your host, Cam Connors. One of the reasons that I started this show, besides my love of fishing, is to share that love of fishing and encourage other folks to get out and cast a line. You know, it's a sport, it's relaxing, it's stress relieving, it's a survival skill, it's so much more than just what you see on the surface. And it kind of shocks me whenever I meet someone who has never been fishing before, you know? Like, I grew up doing this. You know, when I was 16 years old and had my license, me and my buddies were all over the place. I mean, I don't think there's a single lake between Jackson, Portsmouth, Gallipolis, and Ironton, Ohio. In that little area, I don't think there's a single lake that we did not hit up at least once. So for me to meet folks who are grown adults and have never done it before, it's so foreign to me. But they do exist, and it's something that I think everyone should try at least once. And when I say try, I mean really try. I want folks to get that feeling of catching a fish, you know? That feeling of I can do this. So for my first guest today, the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Resources put together a bit of a promotion. They've run it a few years in a row now, I believe, and it's to motivate folks to get out and mentor other people who are new to fishing. And on the phone now is a representative with the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Resources, an education coordinator, Easton Copley. So, Easton, tell me a little bit about this Mentor to Win a Kayak program you guys have going.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So the contest, we've done it for a few years. I think we started in 2019. Basically, the point of it is to encourage people to take somebody fishing. And by doing that, if they register, they're entered to win a prize package, and it's a really nice Jackson boat and PFD and a paddle. We give them two spinning rods, and then the person that they take, we actually give them a little fishing package as well.
So I have to ask, what is the, I guess, what's the motivation? Why do we want more people into the fishing in the state of Kentucky?
It's just a great way to get outdoors, relax, provides food for your family, and then, of course, license sales. And this is one way that we can encourage other people to take somebody fishing. You know, I do it full-time year-round, but I can only take so many a year. So if I can encourage somebody else to, you know, take a friend or somebody from church, somebody that they work with, and take them and show them the ropes on fishing, that's one more person that we're educating that I didn't have time to get to.
So it's a great outreach program. And of course, you talked about the licensing, and a lot of people will complain about having to buy a license to go fishing. I am not one of those people, because I happen to know as I'm sure you do, that is a primary source of income for the fish and wildlife in order to put back into our natural resources.
Yeah, the people that complain about license resources, the license fees, the first thing I ask them is, do you know what your license gets you? And I just explain to them, you know, we do boat rate ramp maintenance. We study our lakes with it. We have a fins program that's really popular, where we're stocking 40 plus lakes around the state. It puts all of our, all the resources that we have in our hatchery, to grow these fish, to drive them across the state, to stock them. All those things come from simply purchasing a license.
Exactly. And promotions like this help, as you said, go towards those, license sales. So you said that, you've been doing this particular program since 2019. Are there other promotions along the same lines like this that folks can enter to win that you guys do throughout the year, or is this like your main one?
This is kind of a side part to my job. So I usually do a class called Hook and Cook. It's a free class. All you have to do is purchase your license. It's Fishing 101. We teach you how to tie your hook on, how to put a sinker on, what a bobber is, how to put a bobber on, how to select the right equipment so that, you know, if you're just fishing for bluegill or bass or whatever, you don't go buy a surf rod or something. Mm-hmm. Just try to explain the extreme basics of fishing to people. Along with that, we teach them how to fillet a fish. We partner with UK Extension Office, and they do the cooking portion, so they come in and do a sample recipe or two. Give the participants the ability to actually taste the fish. After seeing how it's clean, then they get to taste it. They take those recipes home with them. The extension office does a great job of explaining food safety and how to properly thaw fish when they've been frozen. And then the last part of that class is just a fishing outing. So we'll pick a local body of water that's open to the public and meet there. And the department provides them with equipment to use for the night. And bait, and then obviously a staff or two to go around in the system trying to catch their first fish. So that's kind of my main job. Then we just do this promotion kind of on the side.
Okay, so with the Catch and Cook, that's kind of a great introductory program for people who may have never have fished but want to experience that fishing and then the reward of getting to eat what they catch.
Right.
That's a fantastic idea. It's a great program. Now, you said that it's held. Is it held primarily around the Frankfort area, or is it throughout the state at different times and different locations?
Yeah, we do the Hook and Cook class statewide. We typically focus on our high population areas, so like the northern Kentucky, like a suburb of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people live there, so we do a couple classes in northern Kentucky. Obviously, Lexington and Louisville, huge population areas. I'm doing one right now in E-Town, which is kind of central. And then we have done several classes down in western Kentucky, Paducah or Bowling Green. Just depends on the year. But we bounce around. We try to do typically around 15 classes a year.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Those kind of range. Some people that we partner with, usually it'll be an extension office or like a public library. Some of them want to do like an all day on Saturday event. And then the other ones are more interested in kind of breaking it up, and we'll do it in the evening. So this year, it seems like most of my partners have wanted to do it in the evening. So we'll do like the one I'm in the middle of right now is on Monday nights. It's from 5:30 to 8:30 at the extension office. And we do just different sections. So we do the fishing 101 the first week. In the second week, last night we did how to clean and cook fish,
mm-hmm.
And some casting practice. And then next week, I'll actually meet them at the lake and it'll just be a fishing outing. And that's statewide. It just depends on which partners reach out to me, and I have to try to, you know, make my schedule ahead of time to get everybody in for the year.
So with the Catch and Cook, what kind of participation have you seen? Are they, you know, extremely popular? Do you book up quick on those?
It really depends on the partnership that we have with whoever we're working with. Some of the classes, like in northern Kentucky, there's a class I do up there that seems like every year is pretty full relatively quick. We have a Becoming an Outdoors Becoming an Outdoor Woman program here in Kentucky that's very popular. And anytime we do a fishing class, hook and cook class with them, that seems to fill up pretty fast. When I say fill up, it just depends on what kind of staff we have available. It's got to be at least 10 people, but usually we're seeing 15 or 20. We've done a class as big as 45 before. That just gets a little much when you get that big.
Yeah, I'm sure. So jumping back to the Mentor to Win a Kayak program, you said that you've been doing that again since 2019. So has participation in that really grown over the years as well? Because that, I mean, that's a really good prize pack.
Yes, and it's extremely easy to enter. I try to tell people the hardest part is taking somebody fishing. As far as getting on the computer, it's like three clicks and you're in. It ebbs and flows. Some years are really high, some years aren't. It just depends on how much marketing we do for it. Depends on how busy we are with other stuff, how much time we have to put towards that.
So I know I've seen a lot of promotional pieces on, especially social media on Facebook about it this year. Can you say what the participation is like so far this year? Because I know it's been running for a minute and it goes, I think through August.
Right.
So what's it looking like?
We usually
so
try to get it, at least get talking about it around March 1st, which is our license renewal. We try to have it active in March or April when people are just buying their license to get started for the year. And then it does run through the end of August. On a typical year, we'll draw it the first couple of days of September. We'll have the drawing done. And we'll reach out to the individual and try to get that boat delivered within the first 2 weeks of September.
Okay. And so far this year, are there a lot of people participating?
I think we're above average at this time of year for right now.
That's awesome.
So it's looking like I don't think we're going to break a record because COVID's numbers are going to be hard to beat, but it's shaping up to be a pretty decent year from what we have so far.
You know, it's funny. Everyone that I talk to in both Kentucky and West Virginia, in the DNR in West Virginia, the Fish and Game in Kentucky, and then the outfitters, the folks doing guiding, you know, in West Virginia, everybody says that COVID just absolutely boosted their numbers because so many people were looking to get out and do stuff.
Yep, and that's 100% true with what we saw with fishing licenses in Kentucky and the mentor program.
That's awesome. It's sad that it took something like that to boost the numbers, but it's great that people were willing to look for something new and get out and do this stuff.
Yep, and it when we created this giveaway, it was, you know, strictly for our current buyers, people that buy a license every year. They're not going to come take my fishing 101 class. But if we can encourage them to take somebody else fishing, then they could kind of be on our side and help us grow the sport. And that's what it's created for. But we actually track the numbers. We can go and look at the participation. And a lot of them we look at have they've not bought before. But they see this and they're like, oh, well, I've been wanting to try fishing anyways. So they'll go out and purchase a license for the first time, and then they'll take somebody. And it's actually recruiting more than what we really thought it would. We kind of just thought it would help us with getting new anglers, but these people are going out and purchasing a license just to take somebody else to get entered.
Wow. It's getting even more of a response than you initially anticipated. So that's great.
Yeah. From a little bit different crowd than what we targeted with it initially.
Well, that's great. So you mentioned a minute ago that it's super easy to get entered. What all do you have to do? Like, tell me exactly what you got to do to get entered.
So when you purchase a license, you'll have a custom ID number on there. You also, when you purchase a license in Kentucky, you have a My Profile. It's on our website. Mm-hmm. It's your last name, your date of birth, and the last four of your social to log in. Once you get logged in, on the right-hand side of the screen, you scroll down a little bit, about halfway towards the bottom. On the right-hand side, there's colored tabs. There's one that says Mentor to Win Kayak, and you'll click on that. And then when that pops up, you put in their customer ID number. So whoever the person that you took, you type in their customer ID number and hit submit.
And then, of course, let's say So you took that person, and then you know, a month later, before the contest is up, they take somebody else. They could then go in and enter and do the exact same thing.
Sure. And you can take, if you take 10 people, you can enter all 10 times.
So here's a big question for you. Again, my show being based out of West Virginia, so our primary audience, of course, we're on podcast, so we do have a lot of folks that may be listening in other states as well, but our primary state is West Virginia, and we do have you know, a lot of listeners in Eastern Kentucky as well. But so my question, I guess, is this open to licensed non-residents as well?
Yes. The way to enter is you have to have a license. So if you're from West Virginia, you come into Kentucky and purchase a license, you bring somebody with you that has either the three requirements is you never purchased a license, you never purchased a license, and then you haven't purchased a license in the past 3 years. And the reason we set that 3 year mark is there's a lot of people, especially in my classes, that used to fish when they were a kid, or you know, they fished until they got out of college, and then they got married and had kids, and they don't have time. So we call those lapsed anglers. So people that used to purchase fishing licenses and then they stopped for whatever reason, we're trying to re-engage them, and this is one way to do it. So if you have a friend or family member that's not had a Kentucky license in the past 3 years or has never bought a Kentucky license, if you all come to Kentucky to fish, certainly you can enter. The only thing that might get a little dicey is trying to deliver the boat to you. So I wouldn't be able to probably drive it to West Virginia to meet you, but if you met me in Kentucky, I could drop it off to you.
Okay. So, which, I mean, if they're fishing in Kentucky, that shouldn't be an issue, you know, since we're already coming to the state anyways.
Free kayak.
Exactly. A free kayak. So, I was going to ask, you know, you mentioned a minute ago everything included in the prize. Is it just the grand prize, or are there, like, runner-up, second-place kind of prizes as well?
It's just the grand prize, and then whoever they took, we give them usually a push-button rod and reel.
Okay.
And a little tackle box and some smaller stuff, but it's really just one grand prize.
Okay. Well, is there anything else about the program or the cook and catch that we haven't talked about yet that you'd like to get out there before we wrap things up?
No, I mean, it's fun to see people's reaction when you deliver the boat. Most of the people that I've delivered to were like, I didn't even think this was real. I thought it was just made up. I didn't actually think that you gave this boat away. So that part's really cool. And it's interesting if we interact with somebody to know if they just bought the license just to enter this, or if they had planned on taking somebody fishing, or, you know, what was their motivation for taking somebody fishing.
Right. Well, it's a fantastic program, and Easton, man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk today.
Yep, happy to help.
Coming up, we got some Tackle Talk. I've got a story for you from my camping trip this past weekend. I'll fill you in on it coming up next with HLS on the Jock. Border Sporting Goods is your one-stop outdoor sporting goods store. Family-owned and operated for over 40 years, Borders is the Tri-State's number one outlet for Liberty Safes. Proudly made in the USA with a lifetime warranty, a Liberty Safe will protect what's most important to you from theft or fire. Online at BorderSportingGoods.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram at Borders Sporting Goods. Borders Sporting Goods, 5876 U.S. Route 60, Ashland, Kentucky.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone in your community or just taking a deep, calming breath when you need it. Nice. For mental health resources, check out loveyourmindtoday.org. At loveyourmindtoday.org, you'll find information that may help you get through a tough time. Things like tips for dealing with stress, how to navigate difficulties like financial worries, anger, substance use, and more. You can also find real stories of how people navigated their own mental health challenges. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Fishtails, we've got them. Now back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Chalk.
And welcome back to Hook, Line, and Sinker. I'm your host, Cam Connors, and for Tackle Talk today, I've got a story from this past weekend. And I'm going to start by saying that sometimes it really amazes me the things that people will leave behind at the lake or at the river or when they're out fishing. For once, I'm not talking about trash. I'm talking about perfectly good lures and fishing gear. I can't tell you how many times that I have found things that are now actually in my tackle box with my fishing gear, lures. I even found a heavy-duty rod holder once out at Ridenour in Nitro. Just no one around. I mean, for hours I'm out there fishing, and this thing's just laying there. So nobody comes and claims it. Whenever I pack up to leave, I took it with me. It's perfectly fine. Still have it. Still use it to this day. Something similar happened to me this past weekend as well. But what got left behind, it really kind of takes the cake. So this past weekend, I took the family camping, and we went out to Greenbow. I've talked about it before. Greenbow is kind of like my home base, my home lake. It's just a few minutes from my house, which we've got a couple of big dogs. It's really convenient for us because, we can't really take the dogs with us. Charlie, he's a golden retriever. We could take him with us. You know, he's well-behaved enough that he could probably do it. Lucy, on the other hand, she is a massive Great Pyrenees with a stubborn streak that is at least a mile wide. There's just no way we could take her with us. She would be all over the campground, roaming, getting into people's stuff. We just couldn't do it. So we leave them at home, and we do go check on them and feed them a few times a day while we're out camping. And with Greenbow being so close, it's very convenient. So anyways, us being at the lake, and of course, at the lake, I'm going to go fishing. That's about 75% of the reason I'm there in the first place. Plus, you know, time with my kids and family and all that. But Sunday morning, wake up, get dressed. I go out early. When we go camping, it's honestly kind of unreal. If I went by myself, I would need about half of the items that we usually take with us. I need a tent and just a handful of things, and I would be fine. But with the family, when we go camping, my truck gets completely loaded down. I mean, the truck bed is full, the back seat is full, and we still have to put like the sleeping gear in my wife's car because there's just no room in my truck. So because my truck was loaded down, I could not take my kayak with me to go to the lake when we went camping. And I really didn't feel like loading it up whenever I got home to check on the dogs, so I went without it. So Sunday morning, I go out fishing, and I'm fishing from the bank. I started out at the marina. And if you've ever fished at Greenbow, if you know anything about the area there, there's a little kayak and canoe launch just to the side of the marina of the store there. And it's a pretty good spot for bass if you can cast far enough to the side there. I mean, there's easily some 4 or 5 pound bass over in there. I've seen them when I'm out on my kayak over in that area. It's just kind of hard to cast to. It really does help to have a kayak back there. Well, Sunday morning, I just wasn't having any luck at that spot. And Greenbow, being a horseshoe-shaped lake, I decided to pack up and drive to the other side of the lake where it comes up behind the swimming pool area. So I go over there, and again, there's not a soul around. There's nobody out but me. And it's maybe 9:30 in the morning. The pool was about to open, but they had not opened yet. They open at 10, so yeah, that was probably about 9:30 in the morning, now I think about it. Anyway, so I head down to a shaded spot at the far end of the shore. I walk up, and just laying there on the ground is a rod and reel. Again, not a single person anywhere to be seen fishing. And this thing looks pretty good. It's in great shape. So I gather it up and you know, take the hook and put it on, you know, put it away. That way there's no danger of hooking myself. And I set it aside. It was laying on the ground. I didn't want to step on it while I was there fishing, so I gathered it up and set it aside in case, you know, somebody comes back. It's here. It's safe. It's, you know, I'll let them have it. I fished there for at least another 2 hours. It was around noon when I left, so 2.5 hours. I was getting too hot. I packed it in, and at that time, nobody had showed up to claim it. I mean, I'm there 2.5 hours. Nobody showed up. So long story short, I have a new rod and reel. And let me tell you, I'm tempted to tell you the make and everything about it, but I know the second that I do that, sure as the world, the way my luck runs, the second I tell you what it is, somebody will reach out claiming it's theirs when it's really not. And I'll say up front, I have no problem returning it to the rightful owner, but if you're going to contact me and say it's yours, you better know the make, the model, the length, the color, and the type of line that's on it. Otherwise, it's mine. But, yeah, it just kind of blows me away that folks will up and leave perfectly good fishing gear. I mean, practically new fishing gear just laying at the side of the lake. I mean, when I pack up leave, I double check to make sure I have everything that I brought, including my trash. I would absolutely panic if I left a brand new rod and reel behind. I just can't believe it. Still to come, a worldwide lake cleanup day underway tomorrow. I'll be talking with Carl Jochumson from Fear My Heart about their efforts to get folks out for a worldwide cleanup to help make a difference. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock. Border Sporting Goods, family-owned and operated for over 40 years, is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs. Borders has the largest selection in the tri-state from all the major brands, like Shimano, G. Loomis, Abu Garcia, Blue Rock Custom Tackle, Rapala, Netbait, Strike King, and more. Let the experts at Borders help you find the perfect fishing gear for your next adventure. Border Sporting Goods, 5876 U.S. Route 60, Ashland, Kentucky, and online at BordersSportingGoods.com.
From the local 2U studio, connecting West Virginia, this is the Valley Sports Station, 105.5 and 98.3 FM, 1300 and 1340 AM, The Jock.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water, then stir with a shovel and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Fish on. Now back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock.
Today's episode of HLS brought to you by Border Sporting Goods on Route 60 in Ashland, Kentucky. They are your one-stop shop for all your hunting and fishing needs. They're also your home for Liberty Safes. Be sure to check them out and let Borders help you get outdoors. You can find them and everything about them at BordersSportingGoods.com. I am your host, Cam Connors. And to round out the show today, I was scrolling on Facebook this week. I kind of stumbled onto a worldwide lake cleanup event. It's an effort, I guess you could say. So I reached out. They agreed to come on and talk about the event here on the show. So joining me now, Carl Jochumson, if I hope I'm saying that right, from Fear My Heart. How are you doing, Carl?
Hi, mate. Good, good. Thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to come on. So I guess first things first, what exactly is Fear My Heart?
Yeah, so I compete on the Bassmaster Elite Series. I originally am from Australia, and I grew up, spent the first 26 years of my life fishing and outdoors and hunting in Australia, but I competed in tournaments over there for most of my life, and then I sort of made the big move to try and make it to America and make it to the top 100 guys in the world. And I did that in 2010. And after 3 or 4 years of trying and going broke and going home and getting turned around and running into every brick wall you could imagine, I didn't think it was really possible. And just one day through actually seeing a Navy SEAL documentary on Michael Murphy, he the Navy SEAL recruiter spoke about the guy that makes it into the Navy SEALs isn't the most talented, isn't the most skilled, often can't swim. It's the guy that has the most heart. And it really just resonated with me. And however it happened, I just said, these guys need to fear my heart. And I was with a mentor of mine when I said it, and he looked at me and he said, that was awesome. And he said, that needs to be your mantra. And I've lived by that ever since that day for the last 12 years. And it's become a lot of people's mantra, and it sticks with people, and it's to motivate and uplift and do cool things in the community. It's become a brand and something that we want to do really cool things with. And so it's one of the things is turned into these lake cleanups that we're very passionate about.
So you all do multiple lake cleanups, I guess, throughout the year. It's not just the one that's coming up tomorrow.
We do lots of smaller ones, but this is like our big one. And so this is our third big one in a row. And it came from myself and my wife fishing Lake Gunnersville in a tournament in 2021. And we saw this bridge that had been really good to me in the past, and I'd caught a bunch of big fish from it and made some really good memories and had some good tournaments, and it was just trashed. And I just saw it, and I was like, man, there was kids trying to fish off of it. And I said, if I don't make the cut, I'm going to come back here and clean up. And we didn't make it. And on the Sunday, Kayla and I grabbed some trash bags, and we had our dog with us, and we walked down there, and we started to clean, and we thought we might clean up a bag or two, and we end up filling the entire back of our truck. We cleaned up, I think, nearly a dozen big garbage bags full, and it took us about 3 hours, and the whole bridge was clean. And while we were doing it, a couple guys that were fishing asked us what we were doing, and when we told them, they said, you got another bag? And they joined in. And so when we sort of put it out there, we had thousands of people saying, hey, next time you do that, we would love to join in, and just had an overwhelming response from people that were, wanted to be a part of it. And so we were like, okay, if you want to be a part of it, we'll make it happen. And we've made these sort of organized cleanups, and we've cleaned up tens of thousands of pounds of trash from Knoxville, the Chickamauga, all over the Bassmaster schedule. Now this one is our biggest ever because we're making it an online tournament as well, an online cleanup as well, to involve like as many people as we can get.
And it's awesome. I got to say, one of the things that I really love about your story on this is one of the things I say on the show all the time is as outdoorsmen, as anglers, fishermen, we are stewards of our natural resources, of our environment. And it don't matter if you're fishing off of a pier, off the bank, if you've got a boat. I'm a firm believer that every time you go out on the water, you should have a plastic bag with you and not only pack out your trash, but pick up anything you might see around your area. And you've taken that to the next level, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, you have to, it's a mindset thing. Where I grew up, just less populated and not as many people and less sort of traffic around. So I just didn't see the trash that you see at some of these lakes. And it sort of shocked me. And I was like, I have a little daughter now. We have another one on the way. And I'm like, I don't want my kids to grow up around this on the lakes. I don't think any kid should. And so I want to use it as, a teaching lesson and a mentality shift, and all sorts of things can come from how we can just do better. And we take from these lakes. These lakes give us everything. They give us these experiences, and they give us the fishing and the outdoors and all of these things. Well, what do we give back? Like, what are we doing for the lake? And I often think about that. It's not all just about taking, and this is our way that we can give back to the lakes that give us so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you mentioned a minute ago that you've taken it kind of worldwide. You've got it online. So tell me a little more about that. What is happening on the worldwide scale?
So we have our home base down here at Soddy Daisy Bird Sanctuary. And so we're having that, our cleanup here. And we got 75 people last year that came down, and we cleaned up almost 15,000 pounds of trash out of Chickamauga. And so we're having that again. We have our base there. And then what we've done is we sort of set a pretty high goal, is we want to get 100 lakes cleaned up in one day. And so what we're doing is we've basically put it out there through all of my social media, and a lot of people have helped us out as well. And you can go on the Fear My Heart website and you can register a lake. And we're just asking to go out and pick up one bag of trash, one small bag, a big bag, get a group of you, your family, by yourself, whatever you want to do. If you're out on the lake this weekend, register that lake and pick up a bag of trash for us. And we're coming up on 50 lakes now that are locked in, and we're trying to get to 100, and we're hoping we can get everyone, you know, signing up over the next at least tonight, you know, and tomorrow. So we've set a lofty goal, but it's just going to help us include everyone, so you don't just have to be in this area, because so many people want to be involved, and this is your chance.
Right. Well, and I did a little research, you know, before our interview, and I got to looking at your website, and you guys have got, you know, you've gotten the international response. I saw some places in Australia. I saw some places, I think maybe Japan, the Philippines type areas.
Yep.
You've definitely got a worldwide response, as well as several lakes here in the States. In fact, there's one in West Virginia.
Yep.
That I actually saw. So there are folks on a local here participating. But
we got Switzerland, somewhere in Switzerland today signed up. So that's so cool.
So yeah, it's not too late to get involved. How do folks, obviously they go to your website, and is it just a matter of filling out a form?
Yep, it'll just have a register here form, and it'll just ask you a little bit of information and put in your lake and state. And it puts you in the draw to win a bunch of prizes. My sponsors have really gotten behind it, and we have thousands of dollars worth of prizes to give away here at Chickamauga and for people that register online. And so we got some really cool stuff. Yetis behind it. We've got custom Yeti bottles with our Fear My Heart Worldwide Lake Cleanup. We have tons of really cool stuff. So if you go out for an hour and clean a bag of trash up, you're going to go into the draw to win some really cool prizes. You just got to register at that link. So it's just fearmyheart.com.
Awesome. So definitely a motivating factor, not only to make our community better, but possibly, you know, land some prizes at the same time.
Yep.
You mentioned us a little bit ago, of course, that you fish the Bass Nation. Are they one of your sponsors tied on with this?
Yeah, Bass Nation. Well, they're not a sponsor, but I fish for them, and they've just really gotten behind us and promoted it, and helped us out.
Well, I saw a video where you all, I believe it said you had picked up like 3 tons of trash before the Bassmaster.
Yeah, classic. Yep.
Yeah.
That was the Knoxville one. Yeah. And we get high school kids and high school college kids. We get a lot of people that get involved, and they get their hands dirty and get down in there. And it's just crazy the difference you can make. It's quite unbelievable. It's really cool. It's motivating. It gets people together. It's about community. It really changes your perspective on a lot of things, just getting involved.
Right. And one of the things that I saw on your website was this almost like a little mantra. It was every effort counts. And I really like that. Because like you said, even if it's just one bag of trash.
That's right. Like, we got a really cool message. Like, when you register, there's a little part there where you can write, like, why do you want to get involved? And we've just had some really cool responses. And this one kid, he said something like, no matter how, you know, little you can still make a big difference. Like, there's no big or little effort that goes unnoticed, and that's how a lot of people think. Well, what am I going to do? Pick up one bag? That's going to do nothing. Well, it is going to do something. It's all going to help. And, you know, spreading it on social media, I think, is a big deal. A lot of people, you might like to just, you know, do it, and that's great. And I'm a bit that way, but I was like, no, I'm just going to put it out there because I know how I am. When I see people doing cool stuff and good things, it can help motivate me and change my perspective. And so putting it out there as much as we can, I think, is going to just help the bigger cause. And that's why we want people to share what they're doing, share them heading out there and doing it, and just try and get the most amount of people involved.
Absolutely. And of course, you talk about social media. You guys do have a Facebook page. Where can folks find you on there?
Yeah, look for Fear My Heart on Facebook, Fear My Heart on Instagram. All the info's there. And then my stuff is Carl Jochumsen, Carl Jochumsen, Jochumsen. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook there. And we'll have a YouTube video upcoming of it. And we'll be, this Sunday, tomorrow, we'll be really, you can get on all of those socials and we'll be going live and sending updates. And, you know, we're going to be full on Sunday trying to keep everyone really active on it so they can see what's happening almost in real time.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like it's going to be a great event. Is there anything you want to get out before we wrap up?
Not just thank you to anyone that gets involved. We appreciate all the effort, and we know that it's not what you want to be doing on a Sunday, but we know it's worth the effort. And if you are going to be out there, jump on, register your lake tonight and clean a bag up for us. That would mean the world. And yeah, we just appreciate it.
Awesome. Carl, thanks for taking the time to talk today. Fear My Heart, worldwide lake cleanup event happening tomorrow.
Thanks, Matt.
And that's going to wrap it up for Hook, Line, and Sinker today. Of course, a big thank you once again to both my guests, Easton and Carl, for taking the time to talk about the things they've got going on. Don't forget, catch us on podcasts, your favorite platforms. YouTube is where we are most active, but we are also available on Pandora, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And of course, be sure to follow us on Facebook as well, at HLS Show. Give us a like and a follow on there. I'd appreciate it very much. Thanks so much for listening, and until next weekend, I will catch you later.
Miss part of today's show? Listen again and catch past shows on the podcast at WJYPAM.com and on the Jock mobile app. This has been Hook, Line, and Sinker with Cam Connors, brought to you by Borders Sporting Goods on the Jock.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers and never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face, never let them have too much screen time, and never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed, never ever become a minivan mom, and you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss, work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Every person is entitled to 30 fundamental human rights, such as the right to public assembly, education, freedom of expression, right to privacy. And you only need to do one thing to enjoy all 30 of them. Know them. Get your free human rights booklet today. Go to humanrights.com.
Know your human rights, just know your human rights.
Be green and make some green. At Metal Center Recycling, we're a vital part of the supply chain. We help put resources back into the economy. Instead of mining raw materials, we can use what we already have. From recycling your cans to scrap metal and more, just bring them to Metal Center Recycling and get fair and honest prices offered for your stuff. Check out themetalcenter.com. Metal Center Recycling, James River Turnpike, just past the Pumpkin Park in Milton, and in Huntington, just past the flood wall on Route 2.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. Or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never let them have too much screen time. And never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed. Never, ever become a minivan mom. And you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk until